having a few little technical difficulties, so I'm going to have to turn around a little bit more than normal because it's not showing on the computer screen up here, but I'm sure we'll be able to make it through. Again, thank you for your presence this morning. I pray that this message today will help build your faith, because I'm going to start a series, and I've started a series that I've been working on. I have the blessed opportunity to travel to different congregations at times and also speak at my home congregation of Eubank. And I'm blessed that I'm able to continue to build sermons. And sometimes I've been called on a Sunday morning and said, someone's sick, can you come and preach? And I'm always confident that I want to have something prepared. I did have a few days' notice on this one, so that's good. But this lesson this morning ties from a conversation that occurred with a couple of my colleagues about 6 months ago. Dealing with us as Christians, how do we continue to build our faith and not waver? And I think some people, and I'll repeat it several times during the message this morning, I think sometimes people think, well, once I've confessed Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and I've been baptized, immersed into His death, that's it. I'm good to go. And I have to advise people, and I know you all through your studies have an understanding that there's more that we have to continue to do. You ever heard the statement someone said, man, that person had it all, and they threw it all away? You ever heard somebody say that? That person had everything, had a beautiful family, and threw it all away. That person had an amazing job and threw it all away. That person had all the money that they could ask for, and they threw it all away. I've heard that quite a few times of individuals in my life. You ever heard someone say that about someone's salvation? You ever had someone say that about someone who used to darken the doors of the congregation and they no longer do? I think the last time I was with you, I did a lesson about the empty pew of those who leave sometimes and we don't know why. And this message that I'm bringing this morning came about because I was having lunch with a couple colleagues, some individuals that I have known for years. But I only knew them on a business sense. I only knew them from the work that we do. So we were sitting having lunch and the conversation of church came up. And again, I had never talked about religious things with these individuals. It was always business. And two comments came up that were like a dagger just stinging through my heart. And again, I often wonder when I'm put in situations like that, is it for a reason? And my answer is always yes. I'm going to make it a reason why something pops into my head that, you know what, we can educate people on these things. The first I'll bring up, and it's a whole different sermon in itself, is throughout the conversation, both of the individuals said, yeah, I used to go to the Church of Christ. And I said, used to? Oh, yeah, I used to go. And I said, that's a pretty bold statement to make, isn't it? And they said, yeah, things just didn't work out. And it's one of those things that the emotion just ran right through me because I didn't know how to respond at that time. I had never thought about it. I'd never had anyone tell me I used to go to a Church of Christ. The church. Now, I've had people tell me I went to church before, but I quit. But no one ever specifically say, my church, the scriptural church in my belief of the Church of Christ. And I asked one of the ladies, I said, Deb, I said, why don't you go to the church anymore? Why don't you go to church anymore? And again, this first one's not the sermon, but I want people to understand because I've got a whole sermon on it. She said, Barry, she said, I was tired of trying to be a part of the Lord's army and being shot by my own fellow soldiers. And man, that cut deep into me, and I thought, how do I respond to that? And then Jim was standing there, and I said, Jim, why don't you continue to go to church? And he said, Barry, he said, when I was baptized as a Christian, he said, I was the best Christian you could find. He said, if it needed to be done in the church, I would do it. Leaves need to be raked, I would do it. A prayer need to be led, I would do it. A song need to be led, I would do it. Need me to teach class? I'll try to do it. He said, I wasn't good at that. And he said, that's what led to my downfall. But his statement that cut through me that I'm going to tie to this sermon, he said, Barry, he said, when I first became a Christian, I was on the highway to heaven. And he leaned over and he said, Barry, he said, I went from 0 to 60 on the highway to heaven to the highway to hell. And wow. I didn't know what to say. I'd never heard anyone put it that way before. And I said, what led you to this? And he went on through the conversation. It lasted a good long while. It was a very productive conversation, and we've been able to build on that since then. And it kind of ties in with my lesson this morning of dealing with faith and doubt. He said, I had the faith, and I still have the faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he said, I believe that down to the fiber of my being, Barry. He said, but there was so much doubt that I didn't work on. I was doing all these other things for the church. He said, building on my faith. I was doing anything that was asked of me. But doubt started to creep in on things that people questioned about. And I didn't study and I didn't do things that I should do. And I didn't ask the right people. I didn't lean on the right people to help me with some understanding of things. And he said, so this doubt started to creep in. So this message this morning, I want to talk to you, and it's going to lead into things of unbelief. That some things that sometimes we question about our faith, but if we're not careful, can we end up like Jim? Can we end up going from the highway to heaven to the highway to hell? And he was very open about it. And again, we continue to have conversations about it. But the title of my lesson this morning is, Lord, I Believe, Help My Unbelief. Is that possible? Is it possible to believe but have some unbelief? And I'm hoping I can dig into the Scriptures this morning to help us with a better understanding of that. And first of all, let's look in John chapter 6, verse 53 through 66. And I think most of us are familiar with this lesson because I question again some things of how can you go from being a strong member to actually no longer following the teachings of Jesus Christ. But it's nothing new. It's something that occurred during Jesus' time. In verse 53 and on through, we see that Jesus is trying to explain to the disciples. He says, you must eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of His blood. Ye have no life in you. In verse 53. And then verse 54, He said, whoso eateth My flesh and drinketh My blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up to that last day. And He goes on and continues to explain that His time's coming to where He's going to die on the cross. And these people, they didn't understand. There were some things they did not completely understand. You see through the Scriptures that it made some believe. It made some question. But look what happened to a large group of them there in verse 66. In John 6, verse 66, it says, from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. So they just kind of gave up. They said, it's over with. You know, I don't understand these teachings, so I'm just not going to follow Jesus anymore. And again, I question myself sometimes of you know, the hardness of some people's heart. But then again, I stop and think about people like Jim, who knew at one time he was doing and was on the right path, but now he just walks no more with Christ. Even though he feels deep in his heart that Jesus is the Son of God, and he knows it. The man knows Scripture like individuals I've never met before. So I come in up with this lesson of faith and doubt because as I talk to him, things start creeping in that start causing him to have some unbelief. And it's not the core principles of our faith. Those are the things he truly understands. It's some of the small things. Some of the small things of whether it be the bickering among certain Scripture, whether it be of, oh, you can do this, you can't do that, whether it be how often should we meet. He said things like that just started sinking in and coming into me, and I just said, I'm tired of this. But he knows that's a fault of his. And so he was like these individuals here in John 66 and 66. He just walked away and said no more. He said, I'm not going to do it anymore. Let's turn our Bibles to Mark this morning, and this is the core of the lesson of, I think that we can help people like Jim. And I think it can help people like you. People who you know the core principles of your belief and understanding of knowing what the Scriptures tell us to do to follow Christ. But here in Mark 9, we're going to see an individual who wants a little bit more. And his boldness is something that I think we can all learn from. So follow on the scriptures here with me in Mark 9, starting in verse 14 through 24. It says, "When he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him and saluted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What questions you with them?' And one of the multitude answered, and he said, 'Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whosoever he taketh, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and he pineth away. And I spake to the disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him, and he said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me.' And they brought unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked the father, he said, 'How long is it ago since this came unto him?' And he said, 'Of a child.' Verse 22, 'And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' And Jesus said unto him, 'If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth.' In verse 24, And straightway the father of the child cried out, and he said with tears, 'Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief.'" Have you ever thought about that? That maybe there's areas of your faith, maybe there's areas of Scripture that you may have some unbelief that you've not even thought about? The list can be long. And the more I continued to talk with my friend Jim, this is the more I started to understand. These are the things this, where he had faith, but he also had some doubt. And he didn't build upon those individual concerns, those individual questions. And so he was kind of like this man here. He says, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." And those are areas that I think we need to talk about sometimes. Those are things we have to individually sit down and question. Are there things that I don't truly understand? Are there things that I have questions about that can allow sin to seep in and pull me away from being a Christian? And my response is, I think every individual here this morning has something in your walk with Jesus Christ that can pull you away from Jesus if you're not careful. So I think we need to be like this man. We need to say, "Lord, I believe, but help me with my unbelief." We need to go to God in prayer and have those questions brought up. We need to talk with each other to have those questions brought up so we can learn from them and build on our faith. And again, so that's why my lesson this morning ties with faith and doubt. And I've got four other series that goes with this. And I can't fit it all into one because I have so much to say about it. Because the small little doubt that sometimes we have can cause us to turn away from being a Christian if we're not careful. And I am so proud. There's some people that have this amazing faith, and they continue to push forward, and they can answer questions, but some people can't. Some people are still absorbing that milk of the Word, and they just struggle to move on. And the book of Hebrews warns us of that in chapters 5 and 6, if we've got to move on from the basic principles, but some people can't. Whether it be because they choose not to, whether it be because they just feel they're so stuck on the basic principles of the Word. And so that's where I feel we need to come in and help people along the way. Help people have a better understanding to help build their faith. And this man's doing the same thing. He said, "Lord," he said, "I believe, help me with my unbelief." He acknowledges that there's some opportunities for growth, but there's some obstacles for us growth as well. Just like each one of us this morning. There's something that each one of us is dealing with on a daily basis that sometimes other people don't know. So I always caution people, we cannot jump to conclusions of why some people stay babes in Christ longer than others do not. I don't know the situation. I hope I can learn the situations and help you along. And the same for each of you here this morning. We can't just assume because brother so-and-so is not coming to church that, oh, he's just giving up. Well, maybe he has given up. But what have we done to ensure some of those obstacles or maybe some things of unbelief are not hindering them from walking the walk of being this Christian? So this man has an unbelief or an uncertain faith when he's talking to Jesus here in Mark chapter 9. So I pose the question, can a Christian have unbelief or an uncertain faith? Can you still be a Christian and be doubtful about certain things? And my response to that is, we have some great examples in the Bible. You stop and think about this man here. He believes in Jesus Christ, but he knows there's some unbelief. But he wants Jesus to save his son. What about Peter? Peter acknowledged Jesus Christ when he stepped out of the boat, didn't he? But what made him start to sink? His doubt. He started looking around and seeing things that I just don't completely understand right now, and he started to sink. What about when Peter denied Jesus? Peter was a strong follower of Jesus at this time. But he ends up denying Jesus because he had a little bit of doubt of what would happen to him if he told people he was walking with Jesus at that time. John the Baptist, the same thing in Matthew 11, 1 through 6. John's in prison. Christ sends two disciples to him. And he questions, and he's like, I'm not sure you're talking about this Jesus that I know. Can you reassure me that this is the Jesus that we're supposed to be talking about? There's sometimes doubt in people's mind, and we can never assume that everyone, once they become a Christian, that they're all on the same level or that they're all walking that same walk. We have to be very cautious and have an understanding that sometimes people are going to question things. Sometimes people are going to have some doubt. And we can't just look at them and like this man here, he's saying, Lord, he says, although I believe, I still have some doubts. And I talk to a lot of people like that. And again, it's not the doubts of the core principles of what the Bible teaches us. It's not the doubts that the baptism saves us, even though I'm starting to get more and more of those conversations. Because there's so many teachings out in the world today that people just, they're confused. And so I have to open up the Bible and try to guide them, and I'm sure many of you do the same thing. He's saying, Lord, I believe in your power, or at least I want to believe in your power. I've had so many conversations with people that say, I just want to be so much better as a Christian. I want to be a better Christian. I just want to follow God's teachings. And they have a desire to do it. And they strive to be this better. And I kind of feel this way about this man here. He's saying, Lord, I believe that you can heal my son, but help my unbelief. The Bible teaches about different types of faith. We know that there's a great faith. We know in the book of Romans, he was talking about those who were weak in the faith and they didn't understand of what they should be eating and what they shouldn't be eating. So how about you this morning? Do you have a great faith or a weak faith? Do you have an unbounding faith? The Scriptures talk about a wavering faith. Is there something that you question that could lead you to say, I'm just not going to go to church anymore? No matter what it is. Maybe it's the dislike of a fellow member of the church. Maybe it's the dislike of something that was said to me. Can we build upon things like that to ensure that our unbelief does not take over? Or things of this world that can continue to come in and bring unbelief take over to where next thing we know we're saying, I'm done with this. I don't want to do that anymore. Because again, we see people doing that all the time. Again, this man was pretty much being honest with himself, and he was being honest with Jesus. And I always say, you know, what good would it have been for this man to lie to Jesus? He didn't have to tell Jesus he had unbelief. He could have just said, yes, Lord, I believe. Heal my son. He didn't have to mention the part that he had some unbelief. But my response to that is, you know, which is greater? Which can lead to the greater sin, a faltering or an unwavering faith, or faking our faith? Which can lead us down the wrong path? Well, both of them can. But faking our faith in Jesus Christ and the teachings of the Scripture it's not doing anybody any good, because I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus knows. John 6:64, it says, "For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should not betray Him." And I believe that today. Jesus Christ knows what's in our hearts. Jesus Christ knows our true belief. He knows if there's areas of unbelief that we have. But again, it's up to us to try to build and become stronger in those things, so we're not wavering, so we don't walk away, or so that we can help other individuals who are struggling, to help them to become stronger Christians. And then in turn, that helps us become stronger Christians. And we have to be aware and honest about our doubts. I think sometimes people say, "Oh, it's an all or nothing. Once you're baptized into this water, you've got to come up and you can't have any questions." Yeah, I don't believe anyone's ever said that here, and I don't believe they have in most of the churches I preach, but some people feel that way. Some people think before they can be a baptized Christian, they have to know everything in this book. And I try to go through and tell them there's nowhere in the Scriptures where it says that. There's no way that you convince me that the Ethiopian eunuch knew everything about the Scripture before they was baptized. But I can tell you this. Confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is the starting point. And being immersed into that baptism and starting to know that I'm going to change and become stronger. And knowing that there's going to be some stumbling blocks along the way, that if I'm not careful, it's going to allow that doubt to seep in and pull things away. And I can just include, I could be doing anything on this Sunday morning. And sometimes that's the easiest thing to do, is make an excuse for not to be here. Because those little things of doubt keep churning and keep running in our minds of, I don't know, I don't have the answer to this, I don't have the answer to that, and it just keeps seeping in. So we have to acknowledge our doubts, but more importantly, let's stop and think about this individual here. Can you imagine the distress that this dad was in? He's got his son here, he's foaming at the mouth, and he's falling into the fires, and he's just possessed, and he comes and he's saying, "I need someone, somebody help me. Somebody help me save my child." And he says, "Lord, I believe you." There's some unbelief. But that's oftentimes when our true belief comes out, is in moments of pain. You go to the doctor and you get this horrible news from the doctor. And we have it in every congregation. This news that you did not want to hear. And I've seen people go, that pendulum swing completely from one side to the other. I've known individuals who I thought their faith was strong, and they get that news and it swing completely to the other side, and they can't handle the news. I've seen people do that when they lose family members. I've seen people do that when they lose a job. I've seen people do that when they lose money, or they go through any kind of sickness or anything. And so the distress that this individual was in is sometimes that tipping point to where we truly know what our faith in Jesus Christ is. And if we don't continue to build on that, sometimes something can happen to make us just close the book and say it's over. And we all know the end result of that. But this man, he's understanding there's a tragedy. There's something getting ready to go on here. But this last bullet. But the good news is when we face up to our faltering faith, we can admit that it gives God room to do only what He can do. And that's, if we confess and we say, "Okay, I've got some unbelief here, God. Help me build on this." And I love this response. There's nowhere in the Scripture that says that Jesus condemned this guy for his unbelief. Nowhere in the Scriptures did Jesus condemn him. Jesus didn't say, "Sorry, you don't have enough faith. Bring him back when you read more." Nowhere in the Scriptures did he say, "Oh, muster up some more faith, Jesus, and come on back later." Or to this individual, "You have more faith than me, and then I'll help you." Nowhere in the Scriptures did he say, "Oh, I'm sorry, but a miracle can only happen if you have this level of faith." It doesn't say that in this story here in Mark. Jesus' response, again, was he went on with this miracle. And that's why we have to be so careful with people that question and say things about building on their faith. We can't just assume because you question something about my faith that you're wrong and push people away, because I've seen that happen before. Jesus went on with this miracle and he helped this kid or this child. He seemed to be a little bit older at this point. But he did. He had some unbelief, and Jesus did not condemn him for some of those unbelief. And I think sometimes people are afraid to bring up things that they have questions about. I hope we're always portraying ourselves as the Christian that come ask me questions, come talk to me about things that you may not truly understand. If I can't find the answer, we'll all sit down together and we'll find the answer. Again, you stop and think about it. We all know, we've had people say, I don't know, I've been given this diagnosis and I just don't understand anymore. I'm scared. How could this happen to me? How could this happen to so-and-so? And that unbelief starts turning that doubt into things that can turn people away from being a Christian. Christ knew that this man had a degree of faith. And again, I fall back to that. You know, Matthew 17 and 20 talks about having that grain of mustard seed and you can move mountains. Well, having that small little bit of faith is a starting point that we can build upon and continue to increase people's abilities to understand the Scripture, to know what the Scriptures say, to build on that faith and make us stronger, to where when those tough times of distress come in, that we don't waver, that we don't just turn the blind eye and walk out the door and say, I'm done with that. And as I continue to have those conversations with my friend, I think we're working on those things. I think we're starting to build it and moving closer to where I think he's about to the point to where he's going to say, you know what, you're right. I do need to be in church. We're not there yet, like I said. Again, this guy comes to Jesus and he's just begging him. I mean, he's pleading here. In verse 22, he says, have compassion on us. Somebody help us. And there's a lot of individuals like that when it comes to their faith. They're begging people to help them know their faith. Help them know about eternal life. And sometimes people are in such need of it, they'll listen to things that are not even in this Scripture. They'll listen to anything that someone says to make them think they have an understanding of it. And that's why it's so important for us to continue to build on those things. James 1, 6 and 7, it says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Are you prepared for the worst news that you could ever get? Can you really prepare for certain things? There's a part of me that says no. Is there something that you have doubts about that if you get this bad news or this distressful things that would make you turn away from being a Christian? I hope there's not. But again, I know individuals that deal with those things. I know people who have been strong Christians and they have a child that has some concerns and disabilities and they just close the door to church and say, it's over with, I'm not walking through that door again. I know people that have had children who are just beat down in drug abuse and they just say, I can't go to church, my child's a drug addict and everybody's just looking at me and no one believes it, I did the best that I could, I'm just done with that church. Because their own doubt crept in. And they didn't allow the teachings of Christ to overpower what they thought man thought of them. And we have to be very careful with things like that. So I'll finish here with this last statement. The best thing we could possibly do is mirror this man and say from the bottom of our hearts, I believe, Lord, but please help with my unbelief. Because if we don't allow ourselves to have those conversations in prayer of God, there's just things I don't understand sometimes. And again, it can creep in and pull us away from being a Christian. And we have to be very careful with that. Because the Scripture will go on to give guidance. And I didn't talk about it much this morning. If we allow that unbelief to continue to creep in, that doubt can pull us away from being a Christian, and it will. That doubt can pull us away from having a home in heaven, and it will. So I pray this morning, if there's anything that you're going through, that you can actually go to God in prayer and you say, Lord, help me with my unbelief this morning. You're not a Christian this morning. But you've thought about it. And you're sitting there thinking, well, I will when I do this. I will when I learn more about this. I will when I get this age. I will when so-and-so finally comes to church. Don't allow those things of doubt continue to creep in and pull you away. Take the step this morning and begin that walk as a Christian. And then start praying to build upon those things of unbelief. And if you do, I promise you, you'll be able to waver any storm that comes your way. And you'll be able to waver any question that people have. Maybe not with the answer, but with the boldness of your faith that I can help you find the answer. So as we sing the song of invitation, I encourage you to come and we'll pray with you.